something about this turbulence.
I'm avoiding something. Ah, oh, can't get the hang of these new systems.
What is it?
No, oh, it's still coming for us. Ah, it's a teleport pulse.
Oh, what's that?
Delivery for the doctor.
Ah, it's the Kaplan Man! It's the war, the Kaplan Man!
You're just making sounds now.
Delivery fulfilled. And remember, if you want it, kablam it.
Space postman, I've seen it all now.
Delivery bots. Kablam's the biggest retailer in this galaxy. I don't remember ordering anything. Must have been a while back. What do you think? Still me?
Nice.
Check it out. They even use bubble wrap.
Doctor, look at this. The back of the packing slip. Help me.
Probably someone just bought out their mind smoking about. Trust me, I've been there. Should have seen what used to hide inside the trainers.
What if it's not? What if someone really is in trouble?
Can't hurt to check, can it, Doc?
Right. Kablam, here we come.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com, where we review the latest episodes of Doctor Who, and I'm happy to announce this is episode 120. I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Sheridar.
And we are here to review the latest edition of Doctor Who, entitled Kablam, or as many people in America would pronounce, Kerblam, with the heavy R accent that we have over here, directed by Jennifer Perreau and written by Pete McTeague. And I got to say, Tom, the Amazon analogy was great. It was generally a fun romp. Good Doctor Who, though this episode is not without criticism.
There were two big giant things, one of which didn't really dawn on me until towards the end of the episode, and one was the ending of the episode.
Right.
But yeah, like it's, you know, I really... The more that I think about it, I'm so angry because this was such a cool episode that I wanted to, like, inflict more damage on my rating, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5.
Hmm.
But it really, I mean, I'm telling you, those things were so horrible to me and so lazy that they nearly got a 3.
Well, get into it. Let me. I'll hear your criticisms and I'll give you mine, then I'll give you my rating.
So the two things that really stuck out at me as things that I did not like, and I'll talk about the first one is structurally. I appreciated that Ryan, coming from a packing and shipping factory, which so many of us have had to do or are doing or are picking up for Christmas holiday season. And it's not like it's necessarily a bad job, but it's a monotonous one. And I heard so often, in this episode about, lucky to have jobs and all those things. So I think it really hit close to home for a lot of folks. Why on earth they would make a big deal about one of the logistics in the shipping process and then completely ignore it later on, sort of made me go, okay, wait a second. The entire episode, the crux of the entire episode lays upon the the AI in this Amazon-like, you know, artificial intelligence shipping company, you know, retail company, that it slipped in a note that said, help me. Cleverly done. It was brilliant. I love that the way that they, you know, what do you know about the doctor? You know, oh, I bet you'll like a fez. And I love that. I thought that was a brilliant way and a natural way to call back to some of the past seasons. But then, you know, mosey on down through the episode, we finally see the doctor and we see Ryan, and they are sitting there manually packing everything. And they absolutely, without fail and reprimand, could have slipped a note in about help me and then walked away. Because as it stands, that was a written help me on it. As far as I know, none of the robots came alive to write or to function in that way. It took the doctor hacking the Kerblam 1.0 software machine to get any sort of personality that you could work with and communicate with. And so I'm just like, well, okay, that's a sloppy mess. That's the first big thing, and that's the thing that really almost made me take a star off.
Yeah.
The second thing.
Can I add to that, because I have a very similar criticism to you here. I was a bit dissatisfied with Charlie's motivations. I mean, it seemed okay, but I mean, there's so many things that this episode could have explored. For example, such as the way that Amazon has a bad reputation for the way they treat their employees, which was only mentioned once or twice, you know. Yeah. The whole thing turned out to be all about anti-automation, which, of course, is important. It's a big issue that we are going to be facing in the very near future.
But it's also stupid.
Yeah, the show had a lot more potential than just
like,
that.
Just to throw people, it's such a brain dead, lazy reason to be like, oh, automation is bad. This people will always be better than you know, just, you know, machines on their own, because what if human intervention makes it worse? That is dumb. That is not the point of the message. We should be thinking longer than that. But even, you know, digging even deeper into Charlie. So Charlie was this charity case. Or he was billed, you know, fidgety, doesn't talk well with women. And we find out he knew what was going on midway through, and I got excited, and it was interesting. And then towards the end, we find out he's a skilled programmer of some sort, and he, you know, erected this elaborate, you know, evil plan to send all of these,
yes,
these things over the country. I'm like, so you are getting angry about a crappy janitorial job when you clearly have a skill set that is so far beyond anything at that company.
Yeah, huge plot hole.
You could have absolutely gotten a job, and I don't understand the motivation.
Huge plot hole.
I didn't understand why he would be so irritated unless he actually was a janitor and he got somebody to do it for him, but he knew how to do all this. So I'm like,
here's the other thing that really annoyed me.
Disconnected, and it was so close.
Yeah.
It was so good. And they just honestly, excuse my language, they shit the bed, Greg.
I think they did. And I'm going to add to that. And I think this is partially made up of a Reddit comment here.
You know what? Screw this. It's getting revised. 3 out of 5.
Okay, hang on. This may solidify your 3 out of 5, or it may make you disagree with me, or you may even go lower. But the thing that really bugged me, and this is based on a Reddit comment that I saw, the terrorist guy, Charlie, he wanted people to have more jobs. And at the end, they say, well, we'll be human-focused. So what's the moral of the story? Terrorism works. That's very disappointing for Doctor Who. That's really disappointing for Doctor Who.
So, I feel like they kind of had a logical conclusion, and it felt like they lost faith in it, like in production, switched some shit around.
And maybe rewrote
it. Made it child-friendly, and it just like, now like an 8-year-old can understand the motivation.
Yeah, Kerblam went Kerblam.
If they care enough, like we do.
Now, I don't
a podcast complaining about it.
I don't hate the episode. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I'm giving it.
I just hated these parts of it so much.
Yeah.
Because honestly, right up until the end, felt like a 5-star episode.
Well, I gave it a 3 out of 5. So if you're staying with 3, we're a match. It's going to be the lowest rating of the season so far for us, which...
It doesn't even feel like it's deserved, but it is.
Well, it fits the episode. I mean, I'm glad...
Here's why. Because all the other episodes have been just stellar.
Yeah, they've been very good.
So this one was stellar. It just had some mechanical issues.
Right, so I mean...
I just wish were fixed, because I'm sure that they're watching this and going...
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm sure Chibnall's looking at this.
I'm sure they got to the end. We're like, nothing can be done.
Yeah, and Chibnall will probably accept failure for this as well. But I mean, I'm not poo-pooing on the episode as a whole, because I would gladly rewatch this and enjoy it. Probably not as much as some of my favorite episodes, but I'll rewatch it at some point. And 6 out of 10 is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, our attitude here on TARDIS Blend is that anything over 5 out of 10 is a good Doctor Who episode at the very least. And if it gets higher ratings than that from us, then we're recommending it as a greater episode. So, you know, it's not like we're hating on Doctor Who here. We just think that there was some misfires in the plot. I will mention my favorite part of this episode, though, was that the Kerblam system knew it was Charlie all along. It was trying to get the Doctor right next to him from the very beginning.
Is final checks where parcels are inspected, sealed, and go down the hatch to dispatch. Through this hatch beats the heart of the Kerblam operation. Hundreds of conveyors pumping parcels down to our fully automated lower level. From dispatch, our pulsemen retrieve the parcels and teleport direct to the customers. Any questions?
Can I do the packing slips?
Sorry, only purple group loops work the packing sessions. Leisure breaks in the home zone. Right, I'll leave you in the capable hands of the teammates. I'll be checking in on you, make sure you're okay. Got to keep an eye on the 10%, as my dad used to say. Go, organics! He was a bit odd, my dad.
Stand still, Graham.
What are you doing?
Switching jobs with you. I need purple. Whoever sent that message had access to the packing stations. That's where I need to be.
And where does that leave me?
Hello, co-workers. We're so thrilled to have you with us. Yasmin Khan, please come with me. Ryan Sinclair and the Doctor, great name, with my colleague to the left. Hello, team.
Meet at break time in the home zone?
Yes, ma'am.
Roger Wilco. Oh, did I ever tell you about a bloke that I met called Roger Wilco? And
hey, hold on, what about me? Where am I going?
Graham O'Brien, a very warm welcome to Premium Maintenance.
You remember that part where the Doctor changed her indicator on her ankle?
Yeah, that was the other thing that really bugged me. I was like, she even identified it to Graham. She was like, you're the perfect thing. You can go anywhere. You have access to anything. No one's paying attention to it. I'm like, why did you switch jobs? I don't understand at all.
Yeah. Well, I actually like that part. That made it a little bit more cohesive for me, but just the motivation. I also thought, even though the bubble wrap thing is kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, we remember the monster with the painted green bubble wrap in the Ark in space. Yeah.
I did like the bubble wrap.
I didn't really. I thought it was a bit silly, and I'm so divided on it, really. I really can't make a judgment call on that either way.
It's about as goofy Doctor Who as you can get. And also, I know there's like an whole entire contingency of people opposite from the people who get a perverse pleasure out of just popping them that hate them. Like, that's their nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was – someone was must have been channeling that, because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little limiting, though. I mean, and that may be just from my personal experience as well, because – or professional experience, I should say, because as many of you know, and you know, Tom, I work in tech. I work in tech support. And we get a lot of shipments in at the place where I work, and you actually find that there's a lot more and many different types of packing materials than just bubble wrap, including many different types of bubble wrap. It just seemed a little limiting to me in some way. Now, the other thing I want to mention, and Tom and I have been talking about this on air for the last couple of days, I was also a bit ill when this episode aired, so I'm not... I don't want to deny that that may have been a factor moving towards how I felt about the episode as a whole. But I've had a few days to think about it. I've watched it three times. I've read the opinions from people online. The Americans seem to like this a lot more than the British. But I still stand by my rating of 3 out of 5. I think this could have been a lot better. I think it could have been a lot more comprehensive. And they really, I think what they really needed to do was go back and trim the fat and make it more cohesive.
I think they just should have rethought, or I just really want to know what the deal was with, like, why did you shit the bed with the packing thing? Well, I guess you're right. It's like, if they had just clipped that line,
right,
or gone through and done some creative editing, to make it seem as if they could get away with a hell of a lot less. And as soon as they did, there's a supervisor that comes in.
How about a little bit of criticism from script editing areas? Like, you know, this could have been a great opportunity for Chibnall and the team to sit down with Pete McTee and say, okay, look, you know, this guy's basically, at the end of this episode, it turns out that the terrorist wins. And we don't want that in Doctor Who. I mean, if that
couldn't have been the original,
maybe,
like, intended conclusion, the way that it was, like, originally thought through.
Right.
That feels like a last minute change that they just ran with.
Right. But at the same time, like, when you have things like that at the ending, they're usually tragic endings in Doctor Who. Like, nobody wins. Nobody's happy with the ending. Kind of like, you know, with the Arachnids in the UK, like, the way that ended so abruptly, it was like, oh, what an anticlimax. And you could tell it was meant to be that way because it was tragic. But with this particular episode, it was like they almost ignored the tragedy altogether. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of the guy that played, what's his name, Dan, the guy in the warehouse that was with Yaz. Dan, Lee Mack is his name. He's been in a lot of UK TV shows, and he's been a guest panelist on one of my favorite shows from the BBC called QI. He's very funny, very entertaining. And he did a good job in that role. But at the end of the episode, like, he got all the glory, and yet the girl called Kira, played by Claudia Jesse, just barely got any attention at all.
But you know what? I really did like she was kind of a prop, the entire thing. But I thought she was kind of a convincing prop. It felt very sincere. I think that she delivered a very good performance for what she did. I very much felt kind of hopping from the human workers and her explaining, oh, I got a gift one time. And, oh, you know, going, that to me was really like...
I agree with you on that. The character itself of Kira was wonderful, but almost completely omitting her and her tragedy at the end of the episode in exchange for another character that we had almost equal time with just seemed a little misguided, you know?
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I felt. And I know it sounds like I'm bitching about it, but I did enjoy it. I liked the episode. It just wasn't up to the standard that we usually apply to our favorite Doctor Who episodes, I think.
Yeah, I think really what makes me the most mad about this is I got such a I got a very strong vibe that this episode was going to kind of be cast in the same vein of The Long Game, which is New Who season one, Rose and number 9, and that also is the episode that features Simon Pegg.
Oh, yes, Space Station 5.
Huh?
Space Station 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was, it's called The Long Game.
Yeah, no. The name of the location they're at is Space Station 5.
Oh, yeah.
The walls are not made of gold. You should go back downstairs.
Tough.
I started without you. This is fascinating. Satellite 5 contains every piece of information within the fourth great and bountiful human empire. Birth certificates, shopping habits, bank statements, but you two, you don't exist. It's not a trace. No birth, no job, not the slightest kiss. How can you walk through the world and not leave a single footprint?
Suki! Suki! Hello. Can you hear me? Suki, what have you done to her?
I think she's dead.
She's working.
They've all got chips in their head and the chips keep going. Like puppets.
Oh! You're full of information. But it's only fair we get some information back because apparently you're no one. It's so rare not to know something. Who are you?
It doesn't matter because we're off. Nice to meet you.
Come on. Tell me who you are.
Since that information's keeping us alive, I'm hardly going to say, am I?
Well, perhaps my editor-in-chief can convince you otherwise.
And who's that?
It may interest you to know that this is not the fourth great and bountiful human empire. In fact, it's not actually human at all. It's merely a place where humans happen to live. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. It's a place where humans are allowed to live by kind permission of my client.
What is that?
You mean that thing's in charge of Satellite 5?
That thing, as you put it, is in charge of the human race. For almost 100 years, mankind has been shaped and guided, his knowledge and ambition strictly controlled by its broadcast news, edited by my superior, your master, and humanity's guiding light, the mighty Jagrafess of the holy Hadrajassic Maxarat. I call him Max.
And then, I really liked all the ways that they basically played with the business of media and the business of news consumption and the business of engaging almost entertainment, which they didn't even really have a word for yet. It was kind of on the cusp of something greater, and you didn't even really know what was what. And, you know, we had some stellar actors. We had some stellar performances in this episode. And so for them to just kind of throw it all away, you know, like yeah. we even had kind of a Charlie type character. You know, we almost had a second companion traveling in the TARDIS that first season, but the guy was stupid.
He was a douchebag.
Yeah. And you know, kind of fed himself to the sharks, and so to speak. And I just
I've just to add to that, Tom, before you continue, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to point out that it's funny that you bring that up because most of the American reactions I saw over at Reddit did make that comparison with Space Station 5. It was barely mentioned in the Gallifrey base forums. So it seems to be a comparison that the American audience picked up on more than the UK audience, which I don't know whether that says something about our cultures with like mass consumption, whether it be in the form
super
of media.
Connected, watching you all the time. And it was something that was like very in your face, you know, like it still was very like very timely to talk about like information overload and super connected and, you know, you'll have like that was like at the forefront. And now we're like, Amazon is everywhere. Amazon's basically its own planet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just came out in the news this week that Amazon is actually bidding to purchase, nearly 20 of the Disney sports stations in the United States. I mean, this monolith is growing and growing. And I know that was
part of a shipping company. Yeah. They are they're a merchant marketplace.
Yeah.
They're a hardware manufacturer. They're a grocer now. Not just with Whole Foods, but they actually just if you sell online, they fancy up the packaging and the brands that you've never heard of. That's an Amazon company.
I just wanted to mention as well, people may have already seen this at Geeks of Doom, but the image I chose for the album cover for this episode is the one of the robot that landed in the TARDIS holding the box. I put the TARDIS blend shield on the box.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk a little bit about what we did like in this episode since we've kind of stomped all over it.
I've kind of gone through all I liked, to be honest with you.
I really, really like the Doctor's performance here. I feel like this was kind of this was kind of the more personalization and characterization, not character growth, because we still haven't really seen a lot of that, but it felt like she was able to kind of stretch, and I was getting comfortable with her. She was silly. I'm really digging her aloofness as sort of like an after effect thing. Which could become kind of her signature thing, where she's like, you know, you should do this and this and this, and then just like literally forgets it in her all of the Russian excitement.
Yes.
We saw it this time with she forgot to turn off the leg trackers. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah.
That was funny. All of her lines were funny. Her dialogue bit about being robot racist.
Yeah, what'd you call it? Robophobia, I think it was. Robophobia. Yeah, that was pretty funny. The other thing I liked is like I think,
but they missed the perfect opportunity to bring in K-9.
Oh, of course.
Some of my best friends are robots.
Yeah, you know, K-9 or Chameleon from the old classic series.
That
yeah,
could have been a reference to K-9.
Yes, well, I think it may have been because we do know that in the canon of the series. That the TARDIS has had two robot companions. One is K-9, which is the most well-known, and the other is Chameleon, which showed up during the Peter Davison era. So, yes, that's most definitely something that was related to classic Doctor Who, absolutely, without a doubt. But that was about the only reference to classic Doctor Who. We did get some New Who references, and most notably the time that she...
Agatha Christie. She referenced the Agatha Christie episode,
yes.
The Unicorn and the Wasp.
That's the one.
Where she's like, remember to tell me about the time I fought a giant wasp with Agatha Christie.
Yeah, and it was funny. It was funny to see her with a fez on too. I mean, you know, the fez has been a part of Doctor Who since 1997, and they really made it explicit with Matt Smith's era. But
if you were the Doctor and you were shopping Amazon.
Yeah, you'd get a fez.
What would you would get every color and shade of fez.
Yeah, or a scarf.
In
you know?
your recommended product. And so it's hilarious that they sent that.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, this is this thing that's like, it's sort of a past Doctor thing, but like, okay, all right, you know me.
It also hints that, I was thinking about this today, being a fez that was selected, like, this selection by the system may have actually been around the time when the Matt Smith Doctor was floating around the area and it ended up in her TARDIS by accident. And so, you know, the Doctor arrived there a little late, but was in time to quote unquote save the day, even though really she really didn't. So, the one thing
like this one was also political. We got another gun reference in here.
Oh yeah,
yeah, we did. Remember when the big boss, whose name escapes me, I believe it was who was it?
It was Callum Dixon, Slade. I think. Slade.
Jarvis Slade.
Jarvis Slade was the yes, that's the character. The boss. Callum Dixon is the actor.
Yeah, when he was gonna investigate, and he thought the Doctor might have been the thing that was causing problems. He brought a gun down when they warped them to the lower depths.
Oh, that's right.
The distribution levels at the bottom.
I'm stupid, really stupid. Can you believe how stupid I am?
Is that a rhetorical question?
I can't believe I didn't think of it soon. There's too many things going on, too many variables. My brain's too crowded.
What are you talking about?
No idea. You get used to it. She normally explains in the end.
These delivery bots, they've got teleport circuits.
See?
We don't have to go on the conveyor down to dispatch. If I can hijack their circuit for one moment...
Move away from the delivery bot.
No, Sajoma.
Very bad manners point guns at people. I've never warned you.
So, tell us what you've done.
We saw the list. The names of the victims you've targeted.
What? I'm not targeting people. I'm recording the missing.
Oh. So it's not you?
No. Something's wrong with the system, but I don't know what. That's why I had to make sure my notes were analog. I thought it was you. I've been tracking you since you arrived.
We're trying to help.
So am I, but what am I supposed to do? There's no one to report this to. No one to stop it. There's only the system.
There's me. I'm responsible for every person here. You could have told me.
I didn't know whether I could trust you. I still don't.
Hey, Doc, come and have a look at this.
And she makes a couple comments there. And so I think we're really we're seeing this doctor really take a firm stance on, you know, how she feels about guns. And she's really not backing down. And so, you know, in that sense, we are getting a little closer to getting some character growth from the doctor. Because in years past, he's sort of just been above guns. Now, she's against guns.
Well, we had that kind of discussion in some of the David Tennant episodes, which came to a head in the End of Time. And the last resort he had was a gun that Wilf had taken with him on the adventure. And he was, he was divided at the end. So part of me wonders whether we're heading down this same track where this kind of commentary in the episode, maybe not in this season, but in future seasons, we may see a confrontation come to a head where the Doctor feels that she has no other last resort but a gun. And how does the Doctor deal with that when that comes along? And how they dealt with that in the End of Time was just sheer brilliance. I mean, that, you know, it was almost the redemption of the Master, but of course we found out later on that it wasn't. But, you know, those two episodes, part one and two of The End of Time, are just, as far as I'm concerned, classic Doctor Who. So, you know, we could be heading that route.
This was a love letter to longtime fans, this entire episode. It's really hard to hate on it for that reason alone.
Yeah.
It felt like a classic Doctor episode.
In some ways.
It really did. Yeah. It really, I mean, our rating aside, I enjoyed the crap out of this episode.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I mean, our rating is not just based on enjoyability. It's also based upon our literary criticisms on how the episode is made and how it's presented, and maybe where things went wrong, maybe where they could have improved things, and that's what it's really based on. So, you know, I like to highlight to the fellow fans listening to our show that sometimes, you know, even though we enjoyed it, you know, we do need to notch it down a few levels in terms of our rating because, for example, this episode was nowhere near as good as Blink or The Doctor's Wife or some of the episodes that we've praised in the past. So, you know, we have to be critical on this show to give you somewhat of an accurate comparison with other Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
I've got a classic Doctor Who recommendation for you this week, Tom. I thought long and hard about this because there's really no comparable episode like this in classic Doctor Who. But I got to thinking about the focus of the episode, meaning it being anti-automation, anti-AI. And one of the first episodes to kind of explore that, not the first, but one of the first, was the famous John Pertwee episode of The Green Death. It was the last episode I can't remember the name of the companion. Joe Grant, played by Katie Manning. It was her last episode. This was before Sarah Jane Smith came along. But the second portion of the serial explores that the company behind the mining is actually run by an AI-driven computer. And it was one of the first times we'd seen, like I said, not the first, but one of the first times we'd seen the Doctor confront that. It's probably slightly comparable to this episode, though it has a lot more elements into it. But you know what? It's a classic episode. It's a great episode. John Pertwee is just amazing in it. And, you know, it's out on DVD and Blu-ray and streaming, and you can easily find that if you want to check out some classic Doctor Who with which Kerblam had some past references to.
So I've got a new Who recommendation, but first I wanted to kind of, now that we're in seven episodes deep, I think I have a better understanding for why they chose to have three companions this time.
Okay.
And it sort of ties back to my recommendation, which is just going to be The Unicorn and the Wasp. It's a brilliant episode.
Yes.
If Greg and I were doing the TARDIS blend back then, it would have gotten a 5 out of 5. Brilliant cast, brilliant setup.
You know, Tom, I think if it came out now, I mean, when I remember seeing it the first time, I'd probably give it a 4, but since that time, since I've watched it numerous times, I'd agree with you. That was a fun episode. 5 out of 5, absolutely.
And it's just like, it's good, but it's also, you are playing on a doctor and a companion. And so you either have to take and run with the doctor's narrative or the companion's narrative or some mishmash where one ultimately dominates the other towards the end of it. Sometimes you lean on the supporting characters, but the dynamic is you essentially, it becomes one of those things where, like, well, you know, the doctor's not going to die. Well, you know, so-and-so is not going to die, you know, because then what the hell would they do the next episode? And they don't have anyone planned.
Right.
Whereas if you, it's been a long time since the TARDIS has had this pact of a crew where they've tried to give equal time, and it almost immediately forces you into new and unpredictable realms of storytelling. Yeah. And so I think I'm really picking up on that now. And I think that it's, I would be surprised if they didn't focus more on the doctor in future seasons. If we are lucky to have Jodie stay on, which I really hope we do. She feels like she's given it her all.
Yeah. There actually have been some rumors floating around this week, that both Chibnall and, Whittaker are going to be gone at the end of this season, which I doubt very much highly, but, the ratings at the beginning of the season just don't justify that. So I think
it would have to be a Chibnall thing where he's just like, either Jodie's like, I'm not doing it. And he's like, I'm not doing it without her.
Yeah,
like, I'm not doing it. She's like, I'm not doing it without him.
Well, we need to talk about some other news as well, by the way, because this is fresh off the presses, if you will, that all the news fit to print, as Kevin Smith would say. And that is that, we are not getting a Christmas special this year. We're getting a New Year's Day special.
Did they confirm that?
It's been confirmed. New Year's Day is the day we're going to get the holiday special.
And it's not the first time we've had a New Year's Day episode.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, there's something about getting to watch Doctor Who on Christmas Day. You know what I mean?
You can still do that. There's plenty of Christmas episodes.
Absolutely. Out there. And it doesn't have to be Christmas themed. I mean, hell, I'd watch classic Doctor Who.
In fact, Greg and I, and I'm just proposing this right now, so he'll probably edit it in post if he doesn't like it. We should just pick our favorite Christmas episode and do a back in time review.
Hmm. That might be interesting.
So you guys to enjoy.
That'd be pretty short, too. That'd be a nice short episode to do, the day after Christmas or a couple of days after. We could talk about, you know, or we could do it a couple of days before, and that might be more timely.
Anyways, we're going to keep you action-packed, even though you won't have a fresh Doctor Who.
I am going to have to think really long and hard about this, because I like a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
We might have to do a back-to-back then.
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
My favorite and your favorite.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah, it'll probably be a pretty short episode, 20, 30 minutes or so. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be all right.
So we can do that for you, Whovians.
Yeah. Whovians. We don't have any comments this week. As you know, last week, Transmat Trev, the regular commenter, left his remarks on the Demons of the Punjab. But we would love for you to leave a comment for us at geeksofdoom.com. Just look up TARDIS Blend in the search, or if you look down to recent features, you'll probably see our latest episode listed there. You just click on that link, go down to the bottom, and let us know what you think. Did you disagree with us? I mean, maybe you love this episode. You know, we thought it was kind of mediocre for Doctor Who. Still enjoyable, but just not in comparison to the better episodes. It just didn't feel like it was up to snuff for us. So we'd love to hear from you what you thought. So please leave a comment and we'll definitely read it on air. And so that's pretty much all I got here, Tom. What about you? You got anything else?
No, that's all I got.
All right. Short but sweet this week, folks. We'll be back next week for, let's talk about this. The Witchfinders. It's next week's episode. Did you see the trailer?
I didn't catch it. I was honestly like, it just played in the background.
Yeah.
I was like ranting about, like, but why did Charlie do it this way, you know?
Let us put the accused to the test. Ready?
King James.
We must purify your land.
We shall not be stopped.
Curse the witch.
This episode, by the way, let me look it up. This is the one with the the chap that we were really excited about, whose name is eluding me at this point. Let me look at it here. This is at the official Doctor Who site, and it is Alan Cumming, who is playing King James. King James! He's playing King James in this episode. So it'll be very interesting to see how this is. It's obviously during the, I'm guessing, during the Witchfinder General days. Now, I did an episode of Heavy Metal Historian where I looked into the influence of witches in terms of both folklore and religion on heavy metal. And during that episode, I also explored the damning history in which many women and children and some men were quite literally murdered, mostly burned at the stake for being accused of witches or even werewolves, Tom. And so I'm wondering whether we're going to be exploring this side of history in Doctor Who. It's not the first time we've seen witches. Of course, remember the Shakespeare Code had witches in it.
I feel like witches are about to get a huge resurgence, Greg.
Maybe so, yeah.
Because I saw Suspiria.
Oh, yes, you did mention that to me. Week. Have you seen
it? Brilliant film. Probably not what you're expecting as for a horror film.
Yeah. Well, the original wasn't like that either.
Together movie.
Have you seen the original?
Yeah.
The original's still very good too. It still stands up. Ario D'Argento, you know, whoa, geez, amazing filmmaker. But yeah, that's all we got, guys. We'll catch you next week for another edition of The TARDIS Balloon, where we'll be reviewing The Witchfinders right here at geeksofdoom.com. I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Sheridan.
And we'll catch you then. See you later.